Christ. In the interest of time, I'll read from verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As we begin this morning, we want to ask the question, how long is the forever of verse 6? Theologians who do not take the miraculous seriously, tell us that Old Testament believers had only some unclear notion about eternity and the afterlife. Supposedly, their understanding had not yet really developed, and therefore, when we read Psalm 23, we ought not to take that which is clear in the New Testament regarding eternity and put it back on Psalm 23. The word translated as forever is literally length of days. So the student of the Bible is confronted with the question of how long is length of days? And the short answer to the question would be to find a psalm of David, same author, relatively close context, Psalm 21, and find out if there's any clear meaning for length of days. So Psalm 21, a psalm of David, from verse 4, he asked life from you, and you gave it to him. Length of days, forever and ever. Could it be that one of the reasons why those putting the Psalter together said, let's make sure that Psalm 21 comes in before Psalm 23, so that when there's the ambiguous length of days, that the people of God will remember, oh yeah, length of days forever and ever. So, looking at this closest reference, we would think that the matter is settled. So what should I do? Should we simply take Psalm 21 as the sum total of the matter? And I've already told you that the word is actually length of days and leave some measure of ambiguity in your minds. Well, I've told you Psalm 23 is a mountain peak of Old Testament revelation, and so I obviously don't want to leave any ambiguity in your minds because we're already minutes into this service, only minutes into this sermon. And I've already said that there's this clear passage in Psalm 21, but there must be more. And there is much more. Much more in the book of Psalms than what I can share in this abbreviated message. So what does the rest of the Bible have to say, particularly the Old Testament, to help us to understand what David's spiritual psyche was when he wrote that masterful, divinely inspired psalm, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Nancy asked me how I was going to illustrate eternity. I'm glad she did. It brought me up short. Well, it's hard to illustrate eternity. But I want you to think of a ball of string, in our case, yarn. Think of this little end of the string as being your 70 or your 80 years, and all the rest is eternity. The question is, how large is that ball of string? Well, you kids, imagine that we just pick up this building and we wrap around it, and so that string is bigger than this building that we're sitting in. Would that be big enough, kids? And you say, no. Well, all right. What's a bigger ball? Well, imagine that inside that ball of string of the yarn is the earth. Here's your little bit. wrapped around the universe. I think I see a hand up through the camera. Mr. Zeitz. He doesn't think that the earth is big enough to represent the infinitude of eternity. He wants us to wrap the string, the yarn, out to the furthest recess of the galaxy and back over to this side. And then, so now we've got the whole finite universe inside the ball of string. And there's your 70 or 80 years. And all the rest is eternity. And even the final illustration falls short, doesn't it? That's forever. Well, come with me to your handout sheet. What is eternity? Well, think of John Newton, who said, when we've been there 10,000 years. So let's go. There's your 80 years. And now the first 10,000 years of eternity is from the end of the 80 to the beginning of the ball of yarn. That's 10,000. And when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we had first begun. Take out that 10,000 years, and it doesn't matter. Roman numeral 1, is living forever really forever? Is there biblical evidence that the believer in Jehovah at 1000 BC, King David, would have believed in an eternal afterlife? First of all, A, God is forever. God is forever. By definition, God is forever. It's interesting how Spurgeon defines eternity. He simply says, eternity is the lifetime of God. Doesn't help me too much, but it helps me. By definition, God is forever. And once you allow that there is this eternal existence of God, then you start asking yourself the question, will the eternal shepherd want his sheep around with him off into the future? The Bible uses this word olam, long time, antiquity, eternity. That's quite a range of meaning. Sometimes you get that with Hebrew words. Long time, antiquity, eternity. But once you see the long time of God is the eternity of God, then it becomes hard to deny that olam can have a similar significance when used of man. I'm going to go quickly through a number of psalms. Psalm 9, verse 5, you have blotted out their name forever and ever. Verse 7, but Jehovah shall endure forever. There are some that are taken off of the earth and they are judged forever, ever, and there are others. There is God who endures forever. Psalm 10, 16, the Lord is king forever and ever. And the Lord sits as king forever. All right, so God exists forever. He exists as king forever. Do you think that the king forever might want something to rule over as he is existing in all eternity? Psalm 45, those sons of Korah praising the greater son of Solomon. He, that one to come, God has blessed you forever. Well, in fact, you've got a throne that is forever and ever. It is olam and until. Psalm 48, this is God, our God forever. Moses, he is God from everlasting to everlasting. But you, O Lord, shall endure forever. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. And the truth of Jehovah endures forever. And then if we fast forward 300 years to Isaiah, how did he understand the forever of this coming Messiah? Well, unto us a child is born. His name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. And regarding his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever until eternity. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So the concept of an eternal God is very plainly revealed in the days of Abraham and of Moses and of David and of Solomon. And once we admit that God goes on for eternity, then we have to start thinking about what else goes on for eternity future. And you know this theme of everlasting life, 12 times in the New Testament, that exact phrase. One sample I give you from Jesus. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. God is eternal. Now B, God's covenant promises are forever. Genesis 17 speaks of the Abrahamic covenant 2,000 years before Christ. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for an everlasting covenant. The everlasting God says, I've got an everlasting covenant. He goes on to say, I'm going to give you all the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession. He's already talking about heaven. And then, no, Sarah, your wife shall bear you a son. You shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant. Do you see the logic here of the eternal God making an eternal covenant? This is Jehovah, the absolutely independent, self-sufficient God. He doesn't need any help in making and fulfilling his word. So what would we think of this eternal, omnipotent God if 10 million years into the future that he gets tired or he forgets and he doesn't honor his covenant promise? Well, it's silly. We can't think of God like that. Now, I ask you to turn in your Bible to 2 Samuel 7. 2 Samuel 7, this is very important. We're asking, what's the mindset? What's the spiritual psyche of David in his own day? And here we've got Nathan coming and speaking to King David about the Davidic covenant. And I want you to count how many times forever is used in these verses. Beginning 2 Samuel 7 and verse 12. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers after you die, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Verse 16. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. Now, what are the distinguishing features of the Davidic covenant? David's son is going to be a shepherd. David's son is going to be a king. And what feature of the Davidic kingdom is emphasized over and over again to David? Well, it is that this king, this descendant, is going to rule forever. I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Your house and your kingdom shall be established forever. Your throne shall be established forever. It kind of sounds like God wants Nathan to get a message through to King David that it's forever. Now let's go down to verse 18. And we're looking at David's response. You know, sometimes you can tell somebody something that they don't get it. Sometimes you tell them twice, tell them three. Well, maybe David didn't get it. Let's see. 7:18 of 2 Samuel. Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me thus far? Verse 24. For you have made your people Israel your very own people forever. And you, Lord, have become their God. Now, O Lord God, the word which you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, establish it forever. And do as you have said. So let your name be magnified forever, saying the Lord of hosts is God over Israel. Verse 29. Now therefore let it please you to bless the house of your servant that it may continue forever before you. For you, O Lord God, have spoken it, and with your blessing let the house of your servant be blessed forever. Did God tell David that David's earthly descendants would be on the throne forever? Yes, repeatedly. Did the concept of forever soak down into David's mind and heart? Yes. God's forever people. God's house, David's house, is established forever. God's name, he prays, will be magnified forever. David's house continues forever. David's house is to be blessed forever. How long did it take me to read these verses? So let's say that this prayerful summary could be read in 5 minutes. Has there ever been a time when you have prayed to God in a 5-minute period of time and you have mentioned forever 5 times? Don't tell me they had an undeveloped view of the afterlife. It's front and center. God told him 3 times, and he told it back to God 5 times. It soaked in. He got it. And so ought we to get it. Psalm 89, we're looking at the covenant being forever. My mercy I will keep for him forever, and my covenant shall stand firm with him. This is Psalm 89, verse 28. Verse 29, and I also will make his seed to endure forever. You could add verse 35 and 37, forever, forever. Psalm 105, he remembers his covenant forever. And now that's what is there in verse 8 through 12. And how ought we to respond? Psalm 105 and verse 4. Seek Jehovah and his strength. Seek his face forever. Wow. The covenant is forever. We could add Psalm 111, Psalm 132. In the interest of time, I pass over. Thirdly, what is eternal? Well, God is eternal. God is forever. God's covenant is forever. God's house is forever. 61:4. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. You got a house, and I'm going to be there. Psalm 23 is not the only place where there is this language of David, of I'm going to be dwelling in God's house. Here it is, the tabernacle. Verse 7, he shall abide before God forever. So I will sing, verse 8, so I will sing praise to your name forever. Psalm 93:5, holiness adorns your house, O Jehovah, forever. The house exists. And the holiness paint on the house exists forever. Fourthly, D, God's worship is forever. God is eternal, and what else is eternal? Well, God's praise is eternal. This ought to move us. David understands eternity. He understands that he's going to be there. He understands he's going to be there as a priest in the tabernacle, praising God, and so he resolves that he will. Psalm 30 in verse 12, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent, O Jehovah my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Sons of Korah, Psalm 44 verse 8, and praise your name forever. Selah, pause, let's think about it. Psalm 45, where we heard of the sons of Korah talking about Jesus, the Messiah. He's got a throne that exists forever. We drop down later in Psalm 45 to verse 17. Therefore the people shall praise you forever and ever. 61 and verse 8, the Psalm of David. So I will sing praise to your name forever. Psalm 73 is this of Asaph. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And if God is strengthening my heart forever, I expect praise will flow out of it. Psalm 79, verse 13, Asaph. So we, your people, and the sheep of your pasture will give you thanks forever. Psalm 89, verse 1 begins. Ethan says, I will sing of covenant mercy, I will sing of God's covenant love forever. Psalm 145, a psalm of David. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. And I will praise your name forever and ever. You see the disposition here of David the psalmist. I just got to go to church because I got to go to church. People will think ill of me if I don't go. I'm going to be there. I'm going to praise Jehovah. And it's not for an hour. It's not for a day. And I will praise your name forever and ever. To be forgiven of my sins. To escape the eternal destruction of the damned. I am so grateful for what God has done. He will be praised forever and ever. E, God's obedience. God's obedience from believers is forever. Verse 44 of Psalm 119. So I shall keep your law continually, forever and ever. Man, when will we get rid of the Ten Commandments? Your word, your law is settled in the heavens forever, and I will keep it continually, even out to eternity. Verse 112. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever, to the very end. Well, is there an end? Well, take the yarn ball that's wrapped around the entire universe and start unrolling it. You got your 70 years. And I'm going to praise the God who's made this universe, and I'm going to praise and I'm going to obey the God that has redeemed me in Jesus Christ. But now F, a more somber consideration. What else is eternal? God's punishments. God's punishments. Well, surely you have to wait until the New Testament to hear something of this. Well, Psalm 52, you may like to turn that. Under King Saul, there were 85 priests murdered by Doeg the Edomite. Saul says to his soldiers, kill the priests. Because they're in cahoots with David. I'm suspicious of him. Kill him. And his soldiers will not touch the priests.
but this foreigner will, this wicked Doeg the Edomite. So he goes and he kills 85 of the priests. David's later response under inspiration and for the worship of God's people, Psalm 52, verse 5, God shall likewise destroy you forever. He shall take you away, Doeg, and pluck you out of your dwelling place and uproot you from the land of living, Selah. Let's stop and think about it. It's very sobering, isn't it? Now notice the contrast down in verse 8. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy. I trust in the covenant love of God forever and ever, and I will praise you forever. One is existing as an olive tree in God's house to bless him, and the other is being destroyed forever. Psalm 81, verse 15. The haters of Jehovah would pretend submission to him, but their fate would endure forever. 83:17. Let them be confounded and dismayed forever. When do they get over it? They don't. It's forever. Yes, let them be put to shame and perish. 92, verse 7. When the wicked spring up like grass and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. Is God upset when he sees wickedness abound? Lord, what's happening? What's happening? What's happening? You see wicked rise up, then no. These are terrible words. Terrible words, and yet they are gracious words, because God is letting you know that what you do in your 70 or 80 years or 10 years or 15 years, what you do in your time on earth is absolutely critical to how you spend all of eternity. All these Christians, they're out of their minds for thinking about God and missing out on all of the fun and giving God one day a week. They're nuts. Who's really nuts? The one who is preparing for that ball of yarn of eternity that's wrapped around the universe and is going to be gradually unrolled, and after you've unrolled it for 100 billion years, it's still the same size? We've no less days to sing God's praise. Psalm 52, verse 5, to wicked Doeg, David says, God shall likewise destroy you forever. David in verse 8, I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever, and I will praise you forever. It makes me think of the words of Jesus in Matthew 25, 46, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. Same words of eternity are used of the punishment that are used of eternal life. As long as the eternal life is how long the eternal punishment is. It's terrible. I wouldn't have come up with it. It's not my job to come up with it. It's my job to tell you what God says, and it's his job to come up with it. But it's the grace of God that you get to hear this now, that you have the opportunity of responding. And if you don't even think later today about a ball of string of time that's wrapped around the whole universe, if you don't even think about that, you will have no one to blame but yourself. And be prepared. You may be blaming yourself for a long, long time. What else is forever? God's care for his sheep is forever. God's care for his sheep is forever. Psalm 28 and verse 1.
a psalm of David. Now drop to verse 9. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Shepherd them also and bear them up forever. Oh, so Psalm 23, when he's talking about Jehovah is my shepherd, and it's how he's going to care for me in this life. And you know, rather than wondering if the last phrase, length of days, ought to be limited to time, I think what we really need to do is not only stretch out that for eternity, we need to go back to the first part of verse 6. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. How long is your life as a Christian? Is it true that God's goodness is going to follow you for eternity? Is it true that God's steadfast covenant love is going to follow you for eternity? No, don't shrink it. Stretch them both out to their full and proper understanding. Eternity. So here it is, another psalm about a shepherd and his sheep. Shepherd them also and bear them up forever. So our literary question is David, as the author of Psalm 23, is there any indication from David's life, from David's other writings, from David's other psalms, is there any indication that forever ever crossed his mind? Your descendant, Nathan says, coming from God's inspiration, forever, forever, forever. And David goes in and says, who am I? And he says, forever, 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 forever. It was on his mind, and here it is again. Psalm 37. The Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints, not 10 million years into eternity, for they are preserved forever. But the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. Psalm 41, horrible betrayal. The friend of David betrays him, Ahithophel. And it's a sad psalm. You know where it ends up? As for me, you uphold me in my integrity and set me before your face forever. I've got a treacherous friend. But you know what? When I think of my eternal friend who has taken me and set me in front of his face for eternity, kind of gives me perspective. One of the quotes from Spurgeon, where he talks about patience then, believer, eternity will right the wrongs of time. Psalm 138, the Lord will perfect. You know what? I didn't finish Psalm 41, verse 13. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. What a privilege to look at Psalm 23, length of days. What does that mean? Look at Psalm 21:4. Length of days, even forever and ever. Look at the larger context, and we have the assurance that even at 1,000 years before Christ, God will take care of his sheep for all eternity. Jesus isn't giving absolutely new revelation when he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. It's plainer, but it's building upon what God has said in the past. Is living forever really forever? God is forever. His covenant, his house, his worship, his obedience, his punishments, his care for his sheep, they're all forever. Roman numeral 2. How do we qualify? How do we qualify? How do we qualify to live with God forever? What is our ticket? What is our ticket to get into heaven? What do we need to show at the door in order for us to be received in? Well, first of all, A, Heaven is not ours because of our merits. It's not ours because of our merits. Isaiah 64:6, we are like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Therefore, by deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. From David, Psalm 32:5, I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to Jehovah, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. What's my ticket? What's your ticket to get into heaven? It is to know your sin, to acknowledge it, not hide it. Lay it right out there before God and confess it. And as you own it, God will forgive it. He will obliterate it. He will take it away as far as the east is from the west. What's our ticket? How do we qualify? Heaven is not ours because of our merits. B, heaven is ours when we embrace the Jehovah Jesus of Psalm 22. One of my commentator friends pointed out a connection between Psalm 22 and Psalm 23 from the very beginning. I'm holding it until right now. Suffering Jesus, Psalm 22. Shepherd Jesus, Psalm 23. It's a package deal, friends. Psalm 22 and verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 22 and verse 15, my strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. We all recognize that the details of Psalm 22 are prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were fulfilled with his death on the cross. But know that when you embrace the suffering Jesus of Psalm 22, you are given the assurance that Jehovah Jesus is your protector and shepherd, according to Psalm 23. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. See your sin. See that your sin sent him to the suffering and the agony of the cross, Psalm 22. And then know that the powerful Jehovah Jesus will be your shepherd for all the days of your life. Stretch that out to eternity like it should be. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus said, amen, amen, most assuredly. Listen to me, this is important. Jesus is saying, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful, wonderful psalm. We thank you that we can be encouraged just looking back and understanding how plainly the message of forever was explained to our Old Testament brothers and sisters. And we thank you for the encouragement, the details that you preserve for us. You wanted us to know that when David heard forever, 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 that he went in before you and humbly prayed forever, 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 forever. You want it on our minds. You want it on our lips. You want us to understand that there is an everlasting shepherd and that there are everlasting sheep. Help us to get beyond the question of if eternity exists. And help us as believers get to the point of resolve. I will praise Jehovah forever and forever. Father, we pray that you would help us to see the silliness of focusing on our 70 years, our 80 years, our 20 years of living in this world as if this is all there is. But grant in your grace and your mercy that you would pull back the veil and to help us to understand at least something of the concept of eternity. Help everyone under the sound of my voice to feel in your presence this morning that it would be crazy not to think about forever and not to prepare for eternity. Give your grace, give your mercy. We pray this in Christ's wonderful name. Amen.